Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?
He is. Continue then.
Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed of us with a spirit, which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And he answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said to him, "From childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes."
Amen.
Immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." And after crying out and throwing himself into the terrible convulsion, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. And they went, and when he had come into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer and fasting." I'll stop there. Last week we ended up on tithing, so we're going to teach a little bit tonight on fasting. I want to use this story of an actual happening that Jesus was involved in. Here we find that Jesus had actually just been, if you read a little bit, start at the beginning of chapter 9, you'll find that Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you'll see what happened there, and you'll read the story of how Elijah and Moses appeared on the mountain and with the two disciples and Jesus. But Jesus comes down from the mountain, and his disciples are there ministering to the people, because he'd empowered his disciples to lay hands on the sick. He'd sent them out healing people. And so they were in this, they were continually doing this, obviously, because the question comes up that there's a great crowd there, and obviously they must have been ministering to them, and suddenly there's this young boy who has, in some Bibles it says epilepsy, and so they're trying to cast out this spirit of epilepsy, and having no success. And yet there were others that they'd healed, because the crowd was there gathering around. And so we find Jesus comes in onto the scene, and the father says to Jesus, "You know, I brought this boy, my son. He's in a mess." You can imagine what this young boy would be like. He'd be scarred in the face, been thrown into the fire, hot coals. He'd have burns and scars on his face from this epileptic fits that he'd been having. And so he wouldn't have been a pretty sight at all. And Jesus comes onto the scene and says to them, as we've just read, the guy says, well, you know, your disciples can't do anything. Can you help me? Well, Jesus knows he can. And Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes.
Amen.
And that's the real question for each and every one of us. We have to start to believe God, yeah, even when it doesn't seem like,
amen,
anything's there or anything's happening. We still have to believe God.
Yeah.
When you came to when you came to salvation and faith, you had to believe that you were saved.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you probably, when you first got saved, you felt something and you felt different. But guess what? As days go by, sometimes that feeling might wear off a little bit. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you might get up not feeling too good. Or just feeling that I don't feel saved today. It's not about how you feel.
No.
But it's about what you believe.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. We don't go on our feelings.
No.
You see, we are fickle with our feelings.
We are.
You know, there are many people who have some terrible feelings and they end up thinking, I'm going to change my feelings. I'll take something for them.
Mm.
I'll take a chemical. Is that right? Get a good feeling for a while. Then suddenly become a prisoner to having to take something,
yeah,
to have that good feeling again.
Yeah.
So going on our feelings is not what God wants for us. It's going on what we believe. And the only way we're going to find out what we believe or what we should believe and what we are growing into is when we read the Word of God.
Yeah.
This gives us faith,
mm-hmm,
in what we're told to believe, what we're given instruction in how to believe.
Mm.
And so we see this and we come to this story. Most people who will preach this message will preach that the problem was the epileptic spirit in this boy. Well, I'm going to tell you it's not.
No.
The problem is not the epileptic spirit. And Jesus points it out. And when you have to read this story and you have to read it through to the end, and then you have to ask the question to yourself, what was the problem? Why could the disciples not deal with this boy's sickness? What was the problem? And people would say, well, it's the epileptic spirit. No, it's not. It's the unbelief.
Lack of faith.
You see, we have to learn and we have to become disciples of faith. And in becoming disciples of faith, we have to become faithful. Not a lot of faithful people around, is there? And that is a challenge in this generation, because if you don't like something, you get fed up with going somewhere. Oh, you just jack it in and go somewhere else, can't you? Because that's the easy way out, because it's not pleasing you. You're not getting your kicks. So I'll go somewhere else so I can go and get my kicks somewhere else. I can get a buzz or whatever it happens to be. The Bible says there will be seed time and harvest. But at the same time, there's going to be autumn, there's going to be winter, and there are times in your life when there has to be some form of resting and consolidation on what has been sown into your life and what has grown into your life.
Yeah,
and you have to establish that, because this is a pattern that you don't keep sowing a field. Once you don't sow it and then get the harvest and then immediately sow it again. I know we do now, but now we're not getting the vitamins and the food. We've raped the land. We've pillaged the land. So what do? We just pile in fertilizers, don't we, to try and rejuvenate the land. Now the old system, this is what I remember when I was at school. Can you remember it?
Yeah.
All right. The old system was that they would rotate crops.
Mm-hmm.
and they would leave a field fallow for 1 year so that the ground would recover.
Do you remember that?
I can remember it vaguely. I don't remember it. Whether it was a 3 year, was it a 3 year sample?
Mm-hmm. And then that was the fourth year.
And the fourth year was the fourth year of letting it rest. Yeah. And they just let whatever wanted to grow in it just grew in it, basically. Yeah. And they would put maybe sheep and cattle on it for grazing to keep the grass down. But and that was how the land was allowed to recover. So it was in a resting process. And so in our lives, you know, there's seed time and harvest. There's a time when God sows something into us, and there's a time when that comes to a harvest. But there is a time then when we need to rest on those things and let those things come deep within us. Today's society, we're all going, aren't we? We've got to have computers that fast, cars that fast, and yet you get onto the motorways and you suddenly find that this fast car you've got is going nowhere. Because there's a traffic jam. Everything's stopped. And our lives can be like that. We're trying to, instead of taking that rest, and I've got to watch, I'm talking to myself here a bit, we push, till in the end something breaks and we need fixing. It's not how God wants to work with you and me. And so we have to realise, and so when we're constantly searching and searching for something, what you've got to remember, when you've searched for something and you've found it, you've then got to spend some time with it and let that become part of you.
Yeah.
It's the word. When you learn a skill for the first time, the next process then is a process of perfecting the skill. It's not what happens today. Oh, I know that. I know how to do that. You hear them, younger generation. Oh, I can do that. They've been shown it once. I can do it. I know how to do it. Right, you do. But can you do it with precision? Can you do it with accuracy? Can you do it perfectly? Well, why should I want to do that? Because God is a God that is a perfect God, a God of precision and a God of accuracy. And God wants to see you doing what he does in the kingdom with an absolute accuracy. You know, and so it's important that we realise that just because we've done something one does not mean that we're an expert. We've just got one foot on the ladder. We've started that process. Just because you can strum and play three chords on a guitar, that does not mean you can really play a guitar. Same with a keyboard, isn't it? Just because you play a few notes and put them together, that does not mean you can play. I used to be able to play a piano.
Yeah,
I did. I could play that whole this bit. I had it off pat, didn't need any music, could play it all the way through. And you think, wow, isn't he good? We had a little organ at home, put the rhythms on him. Sounded wonderful. Thought, by ain't he good? But ask me to play anything else. Forget it. Not possible, was it?
No.
But I was good at that one, weren't I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could even use the feet. Get the pedals going, you know. Oh, I've got them all, you see. And to see me like that, initially people say, wow, he can play the organ. Not really. I could play one song, one tune. But if I'm going to do any more, guess what I'm going to have to do?
Practice.
You know, I'm only just started. And so I could turn around and say, I can play the organ. Can't I? Can I? Not really. But this is what people do as Christians. They say, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Yeah. But it hasn't sunk in. They've not practiced it. They've not let it work through them and develop within them. It's sprung up. The life sprung up, but it's got no strength. It's got nothing to hold on to. The roots are not deep yet, and it can easily be blown away by some other form of doctrine.
You can forget.
And you
as well.
That's right. And that is what. Well, that's why we look at Romans 12 and verses 1, 2 and 3, and it talks about the renewing of your mind and that you continually keep reading the Word of God. And let me say this, and this is not a slight, but this is just an example. For instance, Mark here. You can start to quote a scripture and he'll finish it for you. Yeah, he's good at that. It's very good. He has that ability. He has that knowledge. Haven't you?
Yes, but it's no good without practicing making it part of you.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And I'm not having a go at him, because he knows this for himself.
It's lovely to hear you talk about this.
You see, you can have the Word, but the Word has to work in us. And the Word has to change us. And the devil doesn't want the Word to change you. You see, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill and destroy, and he wants to steal the Word from you. And the thing is that there are many people who give a mental assent to the Word of God. And in one sense, Mark can quote Scripture. But yet there has to be deep down a deep spiritual assent to it, and an acknowledgement, and that Word needs to begin that process of working in us. It's like a few weeks ago when some of you said, we want to rededicate our lives to the Lord. We want to make that prayer of confession. You know, there was something, it went from here and it dropped deep down into your spirit and something happened. Isn't that right? Something happened. And that's what it's about, you see. And people hear the Word, and that's where the parable comes in about the seed, the Word being sown and the seed being sown, and some people hear the Word. And it takes shallow root, stony ground, etc. And so on. And it doesn't go, it doesn't drop deep down. And the only time when it gets deep down, that's when it's there, rooted and grounded. And you'll go through this process.
Can I just share something with you? Because I've been, it's a good example, this, because I was listening to the Word today. And something just like, and I've listened to this over and over and over again. And I thought, I listened to that. I just thought, I'll listen to this. It's the first one on, I listened to it, and I did. And something like shook me, like it's as if that seed's been there, and all of a sudden it sprouted and it grew. And I didn't know how to describe it. And I thought, oh, that's how I can. Because I was thinking today, I must tell Andrew this tonight. I must say this. And then I thought, that's a good way. That's a good how to describe it. Because that's really exactly what I felt today. It just kind of so lifted me, because it's something to do with this problem I've had, and it was such a blessing. Just so that I know that it's all right just reading, that you need to read it over and over again. Listen to it, the same thing over and over again.
That's right. Because when we listen, I mean, even tonight you're listening, some of you, I will say something and you will lock onto a portion of what I've said and you will miss the next bit. That true? And then suddenly you'll come back to me and we'll carry on. In some cases I know when you've, well, not turned me off, like, but when you're distracted, some cases I know it, I can see it. That's why I look at people. That's why I don't look towards the back of the church and just preach as if there's nobody there. I look at people, I check that everybody's sort of still with it.
It's a serious problem for me, this mind wandering.
Yeah.
I mean, today I've been listening to Grace's message, which is on Sunday, and I've listened to it for between 2 and 3 hours, and I've only got about 70 minutes sunk in yet. I have this iPod, I keep winding it back because I've missed the last minute, so I have to get that link between what I've just heard and I wind it back and I listen to it again, then I get another minute done, and then my mind wanders again. The train comes, that takes my attention away from it, or the tram comes or something. I have to get off the train,
mm-hmm.
That takes my attention, so I'm winding it back, then I'm winding it back, then I'm walking down the street or something else, I'm winding it back. So it's taken me about 2.5 hours to get 17 minutes or so.
Well,
so I'll take it up tomorrow again from 17th minute.
Yeah,
and proceed with it.
One of the things I lied of that as well.
Yeah, I think everybody.
Everybody has to do.
I'll be stood at kitchen at the sink or doing something. Then I'll go back and rewind it. I'll do it again and again.
Yeah. One of the things I do is that if I'm listening to something like that, and I have the opportunity when I'm doing it, I'll end up scribbling some notes, so I'll end up having to push pause button because suddenly something's just boom clicked and I've had to. In the past, you know, I've, like, for instance, Bish or GC, they'll preach a message here or wherever it happens to be, and I can guarantee I can get probably another 5 messages out of what I've heard from them, because something explodes in me and it's like, oh yeah, and I can, and I've got a message within an area of their message that has just been birthed out of it, you see. And so maybe I sometimes don't listen to it all. And then I probably have to go back to it. So there are different things going on as well. For instance, sometimes I'll take the unit to work and just put it on the desk. And of course, we're busy. So sometimes it's just listening to the word as well actually helps just put it in.
It's always there. You're always picking up something.
Even if you miss some,
still picking up something, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because you see. And as it's the same principle as we've been saying in the past about when you read the Word of God, read it out aloud.
Mm.
Because it's hearing cometh, faith cometh by hearing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because if you read it, I've found out if I'm reading, my mind starts to wander to something else. So I have to go back.
Yeah.
But if you speak it out...
That stops it.
That stops that happening.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that you find, that when you actually just read by sight and not by speech, you misread things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've caught myself doing it. I've thought, well, hang on, that didn't sound right. So then I've gone and read it out loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's better. And so this principle of hearing the word brings faith. Hearing, speaking the word causes miracles to happen.
Yeah, it does.
You know, so it is important because Jesus is the word, and when we speak the word, we're speaking out the words of God. We're speaking out signs, wonders and miracles in that sense. We might get to fasting before we've done tonight, but...
There's a scripture in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. I don't have to look it up, but... It says, sow for yourselves righteousness and reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Mm. So there is a time for winter.
Mm.
Break up your fallow ground. And if you break up that hard ground, that infertile ground, then it's ready to receive more seed, isn't it? For the seed to go in. And bring a harvest.
What number is it again? Did you say so?
Hosea 10 and verse 12.
Don't you say that breaking the ground is praise?
Judah is praise.
Praise.
Judah must plough.
Well, ploughing is breaking the ground, you see. So when you start to praise God, you're actually putting the plough, the spiritual plough, into your life to break up the fallow ground.
Yeah.
So that's why it's good to praise God. Beginning of a meeting, you've broken up the fallow ground, and now when the word is being spoken, the word is the seed of life, and the word now is being sown into your life. But don't get to them churches where it takes them 2.5 hours to plough the ground, and then they give 10-15 minutes to the word, because they tell you it's wrong. Totally wrong.
Some churches don't sow seeds, do they?
Well, I don't know what they do with
them. Just dawned on me that. That's what we're doing, we're breaking up the hard ground.
Breaking up,
preparing
the heart, preparing
the
mind.
In the presence of God to receive what he wants to give, and then this ground, this is another word for your body, is land, this land.
That's right.
It's spirit in the New Testament, but land in the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
And land means spirit, so when you're breaking up this land... The spirit you're preparing to receive that spiritual word, and praise will do that. That good.
Oh, it's marvellous.
Yeah.
Praise God. See, here we go. So it's important, the word is important to us. So where do we get to in this chapter?
29.
Yeah, well, I want to just back up and then just begin the explanation. So we're talking about... this boy, how he looked, and that his disciples couldn't do anything for him, it appears, and the father is desperate. Jesus says to the father in verse 23, all things are possible to him who believes.
Amen.
good verse to take on board for each and every one of us.
All things are possible.
Yes.
Amen.
If you believe.
Yeah.
All things are possible.
Amen.
If you believe.
You believe, and if you have faith.
And have that faith, have the faith of God.
Yeah.
And so
what God says.
Yeah, let the word begin to work. And so immediately the boy's father cries out and begins to say, I do believe. But he admitted he had some unbelief.
Yeah.
And that's true of every one of us.
Yeah.
Every one of us have got a measure somewhere of some unbelief that needs ploughing out.
Yeah.
That needs removing, haven't we?
Yeah.
If we hadn't, we'd be just like, at the moment, just like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the father says, yeah, I do believe. I believe in you, he says. But you've got to help my unbelief.
Yeah.
Because there was, you see, this father had lived with his child for all these years and he'd seen the damage done. He could see in the face of his child and on the body of his child the wounds from the fire.
Mm.
That would always be a constant reminder and would create unbelief, would create doubt and fear.
Mm.
Against the word of God.
Mm.
And so the father says, I believe, I've seen what you've done, I've heard what you've done, but help me with my unbelief.
Mm.
And that was the problem. The big problem there at that time was their unbelief. It wasn't the epilepsy, it wasn't the spirit of epilepsy, it wasn't the demonic. It was the unbelief in the people, in the disciples. And then Jesus goes on and as we see, he deals with the boy and casts out that epileptic spirit, and the boy is taken up and healed completely. And it's fantastic what happened. And then privately it says the disciples, Jesus' disciples, came to him and said, Jesus, why could we not cast out that demon? And in verse 29, here's the key. He said, this kind can go out except by prayer and fasting. What kind? What's he talking about? Is he talking about epilepsy? Is he saying that we have to pray, we have to go and fast every time we pray for somebody with epilepsy? Is that what he's saying?
He's on about the
epilepsy. Epilepsy, yeah, because epilepsy wasn't the problem. The problem is this kind. What kind? The problem. The unbelief. Was the problem. You've got to pray about your unbelief and fast about it at times to get rid of it, because your unbelief is like a locked gate that stops you entering into the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a doorway that's closed to the way of faith.
I think sometimes, Andrew, you've got faith for maybe somebody with a cold or a small thing, but when you think of cancer, you think, oh no, I've got nothing. You know, and so you put limits on, or you put sicknesses at different degrees.
That's
know?
Right. That's exactly right, Joan. You put sickness at different levels and different degrees, and says, well, and to some degree, you've seen me over the years pray for people, and in some cases, I don't ask what's wrong, because it won't help me a lot of the times.
The thing is as well, with the word, you've got to stick with it and keep reading it, as we've said, because God knows there's so many things in this world. What could it doesn't take much to get you off.
No,
off to unbelief,
does not take you much to get you into unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because
true.
Because it's happened so much to me. The more I've got with God, and I can feel things, and I can feel things hitting me. And I just need to be with it all the time.
You do.
It's a big challenge. I don't want to say it's hard work, because it's.
No, but what it is that we suffer spiritual bombardment.
Mm.
If you remember in the Gulf War, what did we do for something like over 10 days? We didn't go in and fight.
Bombed the place.
We just bombed the place to pieces. We just kept shelling the place. Until in the end, the guys came out. When it came to the point of us going in, the guys were that shell-shocked. They were a nervous wreck. They just came up and said, we've had enough, you know, we give up. And they'd not been involved in war in one sense. They'd not fired a shot, basically. They just gave up and said, we've had enough of this. We just can't handle it. And that was the idea, was to actually bring them to a point of submission by bombing them into submission without us losing any troops. The devil does the same. He will bombard you with doubt and unbelief, with temptations, etc., until he's got you locked up in fear and you give in.
If you notice, Andrew, the boy was worse. He looks as if he was dead. And you remember the girl that was Jesus raised from the dead? She died.
That's
right. He always puts his last shot in thinking he's won, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's darkest before dawn, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that brings even that can bring even more fear, because suddenly everybody looks and says, he's dead.
Well, with Jairus' daughter, he said to Jairus, "Did you don't you know just believe?"
That's
he
right.
Thought when they said she's dead, he thought they're going to crack up. And said,
yeah,
just believe.
You see, again, you see, it's a challenge.
All I know is when I'm listening to that piece that I get listening to how I feel, and the more I do listen to the word, the more when something hits you,
yeah,
like a person, it happened to me. I got a text off somebody, hit me like a bullet, weren't expecting it, and I thought, oh, this is a test.
Every time
it were a test. I was with my mum, and then I was nipping my mum somewhere, and she says, oh, I've got this, she says, and I thought you could read this. Well, and I read it.
Well, yeah, I'd brought me book for her to read.
And as I read it,
I didn't know she'd got text.
And I says, I'm a bit shook up.
Because?
I says, I've got this. And she understood why I was shook up. And I read this, and of course, I was sat there 20 minutes, and she come out. Have you done anything? I says, well, what, I hadn't at that point, but it all fitted together because I stayed with the word, stayed with some of this, and I knew exactly what to do, and it all fitted round.
It's a good time at times not to have your mobile phone on, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what I was saying. And
I think sometimes we're too accessible,
yeah.
The mobile phone can be a fabulous invention, but also it can be a real disaster when people can use it against you in one sense,
yeah.
And sort of use it in such a way that creates fear and sets something off within the process, and you're thinking,
before you know it,
you've entered into this thing, and it's like, hang on, wait a minute, what am I doing? And he whose mind is stayed on God,
exactly, that's what I thought
perfect
today
peace.
Perfect
it
peace.
Happened to me, yeah.
That's
with
right.
me over days, somebody was saying, I saw in talking to him on Facebook, and he was saying I was a failure because I've told him what I've gone off, and he said to me, once I had it, always an idea, Mark, you're a failure, you'll never be able to beat this, you've nothing. Then God reminded me what you just said in Isaiah, whose mind is steadfast on me, I will keep in perfect peace.
But you see, this is what you have to do now. You see, you have got to get the word before you, keep it in front of you. You've got to, when you get challenged and tested, you've got to get back to the word. And the other thing you've got to do is change your associations.
That's what I have started to do.
And you may not at times have, initially, you may find, well, I don't really have anything in common with some of these people. But that's not what it's about, initially. It's about this forming new bonds, new relationships, new futures, and protection. And when the Bible says, when two or three are gathered together, in my name, there he is in the midst. And it says, if two or three shall agree on earth, it shall be done. It shall be done in the spiritual heavens, right? And so it's important to realise that there is a strength in numbers.
There is
a strength in numbers, that because when one is weak, you see, when Paul went on his missionary journeys, he didn't go on his own. He took a team.
Yeah.
For when one was weak, the others was somebody was strong. Because when one was being attacked, others were standing in the gap. And so it is important that we realise this, that We're not created to be in isolation.
No.
We're created to support and to encourage one another. Yeah. And just because we're going through a trial does not mean that you're weak. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Does not mean you're weak.
No.
What it means is you're going through a process and the word is being tested in you.
Exactly. Yeah. I've learnt that.
And the principle of this testing is that actually you're going to come out and show the enemy, the devil, that you're actually strong.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what God's doing. This is God's allowing this in me so that I might prove that this word is in me and that this word will change circumstances and situations. It will heal the sick. It will heal this epileptic. Mm. It will deliver this young boy. And I believe, I honestly believe that when this boy was healed, that when he got up, I believe that not just did he get healed from epilepsy, but I believe his whole countenance and his skin was changed, and there was no signs of the burnings of the that he suffered.
Mm.
He was a different person because Jesus moved in and changed him. Put it this way, that's what I'd like to believe, because I think that's a fabulous testimony, and I think that's powerful. What God could do.
I'm going to say, because I know he prayed for a leper, and he said to one of them that come back to thank him, he's made whole, so that meant everything had come back.
Exactly, everything had returned. His fingers that he'd lost, his ears maybe, and parts of his face that were lost, were all there. And so that was how they knew they were healed, because suddenly they're like, hey, I didn't have 10 fingers. I might have only just had some stumps. But it says as they went, they were healed. And for me, healing is a complete package. It's a complete package. And they knew they were healed because suddenly it's like, I didn't have that. Because in leprosy, things dropped off. Parts of the body dropped off. Awful disease. But when God comes in, he changes things. And this is the power of the word of God. So the problem is unbelief many times. I suppose when I pray for folks, sometimes I won't ask what's wrong because I don't want to actually even give an opportunity to stir up some unbelief. It's like, well, I'm just going to pray because I just believe Jesus can do anything. There's nothing impossible to God. You know, it's back to this. It's him possible. Back to that one. And so the problem in the disciples was their unbelief. They'd been out doing signs, wonders and miracles. That wasn't the issue. But this one, what they saw, you know, can you imagine a young boy and he's got burns on his face, on his arms, everything, and he looks a mess, this child. At the moment the disciples think, that's a challenge, isn't it? What's wrong with him? Oh, it's epilepsy, and it scares them, and it can... Sometimes what you see can actually knock your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what you hear can knock your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You hear of people that have been going to church for years and then all of a sudden disappear. Where does it attack first? It goes for your faith, doesn't it? Goes and hits you and says, well, you know what, you'll believe in. It rocks you a little bit. But that's exactly what the devil wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Rock your faith.
See, like you say, Andrew, I mean, this saying could come to me for Christine tonight. United we stand, divided we fall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I felt that one for me and Christine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we've had this, we've both been involved in this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But this is it. This is where it says, where two or three are gathered together.
Yeah,
it's standing together. It's encouraged. You see, the word is about encouraging one another in the word. Now, the problem is, people don't know how to encourage one another because they use other things. They use other things, not the word of God. And it is important that we learn that it's the word of God that will bring us through into victory.
Mm-hmm. Well, it did with me.
Yeah. The word of God will bring a miracle about. Because
he's
the God of the impossible. He's possible in all these things. We put God in the centre of it and it changes things. So the great the great thing that you and I have to realise is that sometimes, if we're struggling with believing in something, then one of the things we can do is to begin to fast a little. And you might just fast for half a day. But what do you do in that fasting time? Most people just carry on and just do nothing but work through. The idea is that if you're missing a meal or two meals, that during that time when you'd either be preparing or eating the meal, is that you spend that time in reading the Word of God and praying. And spending, so what it does, it gives you that extra time, shall we say, in the presence of God. And what you're saying to your body is, when your stomach starts groaning and saying, I'm hungry, you're saying, shut up. You're bringing your body into submission, and you're saying, I'm going to spend some extra time in the Word of God, and I'm going to let God speak to me. I once was set for a long fast, actually, a long time ago, and I got 3 or 4 days into the fast, and I was absolutely, I'd had nothing but fluid, basically, water and that. And I was in a situation where I had to go cut some grass for somebody at the church. It was, I started doing this, next thing I know, ground started spinning, and
oh dear.
And I thought, oh dear me, I had to have something to eat at that stage, because I'd just got to push myself too far. And I broke the fast, and it was like, I hated every moment of it, because I just knew I was set for something, but other things pushed in, and I was so annoyed at that. So fasting can draw you closer into the presence of God. See, for me, fasting to some degree drains away unbelief. You get closer to God, allows you to move into his presence, and you just say to everything else, shut up, be still. It's very difficult in this day and generation that we live in, because there's so much that bangs after our attention all the time. And, it's a discipline at times that you have to put into practice. And as I say, some people, you can fast for half a day, for a day. It's good. Because, what you're doing is you're setting that extra time on one side for the Word of God. And you're saying, nothing else going to distract me. I've been known to pull the plug out on the phone. Because you can guarantee when you get into prayer, the phone rings.
Mm-hmm. Call centre.
Sorry. Anything these days is an absolute nuisance. So one of the best things is yank the plug out, turn your mobile off. Nothing's going to happen, right, that's irreparable in that sense, or there's nothing's going to happen that you are going to, that only you can fix, because if it is, then we're not relying on God, because suddenly we think we're actually bigger than God. I'll turn my mobile off. Sorry, but you'll not get me. If I'm going to be praying, yank the phone plug out. I'll go and I'll lock the door. I guarantee that when I get myself down for prayer, somebody comes knocking on my door. Friends go...
Oh.
There you go.
I am proven right, am I not?
Somebody's forgotten to turn the mobile off. Am I proven right?
Yes.
There I am.
It's
yes.
Always at the wrong time when the devil starts.
No, it's just an example to prove that. To prove, you see, that every time.
And if you're eating a meal, somebody will ring you.
Oh, I just let it go. I just can't be bothered now. Just learn. You see, the telephone is supposed to be an assistance, not a distraction. It's supposed to be somewhere, but it interferes. Guaranteed you start. I went through a phase at our house. I literally sit at the table for something to eat, literally. As soon as my bottom touched the seat, the phone would ring, wouldn't it? And I used to say, that's Len Smith, He's gone and set up a button that every time I put me sit on this chair, phone rings. And it did seem to be like that. And then I said, got an answering machine, let it go. lot of things. And in the same way, you need to turn around and say, I'm reading the word, I'm not going to answer it. Leave a message, I'll get back to you.
She doesn't tell us at phone. She always say, I can't believe it, he can never get hold of her, he can never get hold of her. Why isn't she answering?
Leave a message.
Then she, then after he said that, she rings back.
It's all right. You've got to focus, because there are so many distractions in this world today, and the devil wants to keep you distracted by bright lights and this and that and that. And we've got to focus on the word. It's the word that sets you free.
Yeah.
It's the word that brings life. It's the word that brings miracles. And it's the word of God that changes. So sometimes you might think, well, I need to just, even preparing a meal, I'm just going to, I'm going to take a break from it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend, you know, the next however long it takes to prepare a meal, I'm going to spend that time in the word and talking to God. And however long it takes you to eat it, spend that time in the word talking to God. And then you can say, right, you know. And you will feel you've had a spiritual feast. You've been at a banqueting table. Like Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat. But he came, and the word says, after that he came out in the power of the Spirit. Prayer and fasting. Jesus did that at the beginning of his ministry, so that the power of the Spirit was in him, and it was through prayer and fasting. And when you read in Scripture later on after the death of Jesus, and you see that prayer and fasting is used for the empowering of the saints for the work in the ministry, that's what it's there for. It's not a case of starving for any reason. It's purely and simply that you are setting yourself aside to listen to God, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and prepare yourself. You are physically feeding yourself for ministry and for the anointing to dwell within you. And so fasting and praying is good for that. When you fast, you don't just go without food, but you put the spiritual food, the reading the word and prayer together. And that will substitute for missing a meal.
I think some people have prayed and fasted, Andrew, thinking that they're going to change, God's going to work because they've prayed and fasted. But it's not to move God, it's for us to move
you. No, it's to change you. Yeah. The praying and the fasting is to change you, is to help you with your unbelief.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for. You see, you and I, we could do, with the word of God in us, we can do great things, but our unbelief gets in the way. Fear rises up.
It's feeding your spirit inside. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what it needs, isn't it?
That's what it's about, feeding your spirit. And so when we feed our spirit, the word works powerfully. You consider when Peter, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Peter is walking through the streets, and it says, and I love this one, it says, the very shadow of Peter healed the people. And I have a wild imagination at times, whether it's right or wrong, this one, but I pondered on that scripture a few weeks back, and I think I was going to share it, but I didn't with you. But I'll do it just tonight, and then we'll close with this. I suddenly saw this thing of, and it says, and the shadow of Jesus, of Peter, where his shadow fell, people were being healed. And I thought, wow. So if he can imagine, there's this street, fairly narrow, Peter's walking down the streets, there's probably people on either side. So if the sun's on his left, his shadow's on his right, is that true? So that meant everybody on his right would get healed, but nobody on his left got healed, yeah? And I suddenly had this, wow. But when the presence of God is on someone and the light of God is upon them, and I suddenly had this picture that his shadow was just going out from him, both sides. Strange. I had this, where he walked down the streets and down both sides of the streets, people being healed because the shadow because the glory of God was upon him, and it was radiating out as a shadow. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe off the wall, but for me, just like, God's able to do that.
He's able to do anything.
God's able to do it. You know, and I just thought, wow. Otherwise, everybody would be racing to get to that side of the street quick, you know, get to that side of the street. That's where his shadow is.
Well, he turned the shadow back for Hezekiah.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, God moved the shadow back for Hezekiah, turned time back in one sense. God stopped this when Moses stood while Joshua fought the battle. While his hands were lifted up, the sun stood still. And they fought the battle till they destroyed the enemies. And whilst Moses kept his hands up, the sun stood still in the sky. Time stood still. Time's only something that we live in. God does not live in time.
No, he doesn't, does he?
No.
Yeah, but we should have all got flung off at Earth.
Well, if the Earth actually stopped, we should have all, you know, we would have all been gone. You know, so God's a God of miracles, and it's like, how does he do it? I don't know how he does it, because he's God. He does it because he's God. And he does it because he loves you when he loves me.
Yeah.
And he does it because he wants you to know his power.
Yeah.
And he wants you to know how much he cares for you as a loving father.
He'll move heaven and earth for you, Bill.
He will. He'll move heaven and earth.
I think with God not being in time, I think sometimes you think, oh, time's going on and we haven't done what we were supposed to be doing, but God's not interested in time. He can do it. Just look at Jesus, he would all that. He only did 3.5 years, didn't he? But he did so much in the
earth. Exactly.
Yeah, he did.
But then again, how many... He never went out of his own country.
No.
So how many lives did he took in that 3.5 years? Mm. Very limited.
You see, it's like...
But you see, his goal was there is to come and live the life, the example, and then come and die on a cross and be raised again on the third day. That was his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal was not to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That came when he sent his disciples out from that point. So we have to realise that, again, it's not about numbers.
No, it isn't.
It's not how big a number you've got. How big's your faith? How big's your faith?
One thing I've noticed as well with me, it's like talking about time. You can't say I'm going to do, oh, I must clean this, I must do that, and then read. And you're on a bit of a dead loss, aren't you? Really. Mm-hmm. But if you just set yourself like something, let's say, I'll spend 10 minutes in the morning reading the word, or I'm just using it as an example, you'll find yourself reading more. You won't just want that 10 minutes, and before you know it, it increases, because the more you read, it feeds you, the more you want of it.
Yeah, you do.
And I felt that.
And yeah, that's true. But our other bonus these days is we learn to use modern technology. As Bill says, you can listen to it even when you're driving, and you can still be taking it in. You see, at one time, when I used to be on the road repping, I'd drive to Manchester. Well, I could get through John's Gospel. I'd not turn the page.
You've helped me clean house, you have.
There you go.
Send him here, send him back to our
house. Well, it just goes to show you, I've been focused and wanted to listen to something. I've done it, and I thought, well, I can't believe I've done that. I mean, obviously I've got physical conditions, so I've got to, but I'm saying it has helped, it has fed me, that's I can feel it.
Yeah.
But it's the word, you see, it's the word that empowers us, you see. I want to remember somebody had we got a television of somebody's that we needed to return. It was a massive thing. It was one of these that Ken Craven had bought, an old great big, I don't know, 20 odd inch, 30 inch thing, and then, you know, the
right big back and the right big
sides and what have you, you know, little screaming, and he wanted it back. Well, two of them brought it to our house, and I said, well, I mean, on my own. Well, he says, can't you get it in back of your car? So I thought, we're all right. Now,
No wonder you've got a bad back.
Well, I'd had problems with my back, so I just thought for a while and I thought, I went out and I opened all the doors and opened the car and I thought, right, I will get this in booked to my car because I want rid of it anyway. So I went towards it and I started speaking in tongues. And I grabbed hold of this television and started speaking in tongues. And I lifted this thing up and I carried it straight out and dropped it back at car. And I had no trouble with my back. And I put it down to the fact that there was somebody else on the other end of that. I just thought, I'm having God in on this one. And I took it out. I was absolutely determined this thing was going in the name of Jesus. Stuck it back at car. I thought, wow. Didn't realise it, you know.
I used to do that thing, but when I was doing that, you know, when you used to have them three things, what you used to have for sound in there, when Graham used to come and lock home cupboards went for Adrian, so I used to get stuff out and you say, oh, Lord, this is heavy. So I used to ask the Lord to help me, and he did. And you could lift things out and you don't.
It's amazing what you can do, isn't it? The power of the Spirit of God.
We have resources and we don't use them, do we?
No. You see, the Spirit has come to empower us. That's what it's about, to empower us. You know, not just in word and speech, but in everything that we do. It's not just speaking in tongues, but the word says it's come that we might have power. You see, and we need to realise that the word of God is bringing life and power to us through the Spirit.
We've got to realise that this is for every day. I think
absolutely
rocks us, you know, for different
church. 24/7, as the world says. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. This is what it's about. And when we get to leave, there's still an extra day there. So let's go for it. And
you can help us with everything, but we don't realise it, do we?
No. Sometimes we forget to invite God into the circumstance and situation because we get so used to doing things on our own. And this is sometimes when I say, why? Maybe sometimes prayer and fasting might just jog us a little moment and say, oh, you know, God needs to be involved in this. And we do. We run our lives. Every one of us runs our lives, and then suddenly we come to a point, we get to a sticky situation, and so we think, oh, I'll ask God about this. Instead of, if we'd have started earlier, we might not have got to this sticky position. But
we ask not, have not because we ask
we have,
not.
Exactly, we have not because we ask not.
You
yeah.
try to be independent, don't you? You shouldn't be independent when we were God. We should be God dependent.
God's ways are foreign to the world, aren't they?
Yeah.
You see, God wants you to be totally dependent upon Him because He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. Sometimes we don't realise it.
Well, thank you, God.
But He is there.
He is there.
But so what we have to learn to do is to call upon Him for assistance.
The thing is, you know, you feel Him and you know He's there more when you read the Word, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll encourage you to, you know, pray, fast a little bit, and it's just a short teaching tonight on it. You can spend a lot more time on it, but we'll not. We've covered enough, we've covered the basics, and if you want to talk some more about it, well, we will do later.
Thank you.
What you say, importance of prayer. When I was in challenge, Jay Fallon was on about it, and he said, take the word prayer, and each letter, if you break it, prayer releases all your eternal resources.
Amen.
He said, that's why prayer is so important.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get all your resources from.
It's so true. So true. Praise God. See, He knows it all.
He does.
I'm used to fasting.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. He knows it all, and he's just going to keep
fasting. Can it be like you fast, like your favourite TV programme instead? Or has it got to be food?
It's really the emphasis on fasting is food, in the sense that you focus on God, you put in, well, obviously you will be fasting your favourite TV programme, because what you're saying is that I'm giving this time to God. Fasting is not just food, it's giving yourself and time to God. And these days, in this generation and whatever, you can record your favourite programme. I used to see Christians years back, and we got video recorders, and they'd stay away from a prayer meeting, and these were people who would nail you if you missed a service, and they'd stay away from a prayer meeting. You know what I'm talking about. And you'd say, "Where's so and so tonight?" Oh, and nobody'd give you, family wouldn't give you an answer. Of course, I weren't a football follower, but it didn't take me long to twig on. There's a football match on tonight that they want to watch. Well, record it. In fact, I've just thought on. I'm going to put this on. I've just thought on. Formula were on this last weekend, weren't it?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, and it's Wednesday. Now, don't anybody tell me what result is.
I don't know.
But I haven't watched it yet.
I'm not.
And I haven't heard anything at all. So I expect to go and watch it at some stage when I've got some time and catch up.
What have I missed?
Nothing, darling.
Do you know that scripture when we were talking about Hezekiah turning, God turning the sun and the sun stopping for Joshua? It was Moses, wasn't it? God says as well, you see, in the latter days, he said the reaper will overtake the sower.
Mm.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
How can you reap before you
before
sow?
Before
yeah.
God will answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's right. Before you call, I will answer. Before
but this
you
is God, isn't
so
it?
That's the miracle working God. But you see, it's putting yourself into that.
Explain what that means again, then. What's he sort of saying?
The reaper
in the
will
last
overtake.
Days before he comes, his needs.
Well, it talks about the former and the latter rain coming together, doesn't it? And you're having a double portion, a deluge. And then he talks about the sower, the reaper overtaking the sower. So before he's had a chance to sow the seed, he's reaped the harvest. God, how can that happen?
If you remember in one part in the Old, I think it was the Old Testament, well, when God says to him, you've got to leave the land, and then they've got to sow 1 year, and they're going to eat it straight away. They were going to prove a harvest, and they're going to, you know, I can't remember much about it now, but I remember reading it where they're going to eat, more or less eat it straight away, plenty of food for them.
Mm.
Yeah, for 3 years, and
yeah.
In the third year they could sow, couldn't
yeah.
they? Reap and sow.
That's really.
God's ways are not our way.
But we have got to help ourselves as well as God helping us, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got to do our
part.
He expects cooperation.
As well,
it's two-way,
it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why. Reading the word and prayer,
yeah.
That's the part of the process.
It is,
and
yes.
During that process,
yeah.
God speaks
yeah.
to us, instructs us, gives us guidance,
mm.
and can give us instruction on what we need to be doing next. And and building faith. Building faith in the world, build in the word, and building faith in ourselves that that the word is working in us, and it's setting us up for victory.
But what you've got to realise as well, Satan will always be there to put something in your way to prevent you from reading the word.
Yeah.
And the stronger you get in it, the more challenges you'll get coming across to stop you from doing it.
Yeah,
he'll wake you in the
and
middle of the
know,
night, keep
yeah.
you awake if you can. But
yeah.
you start praying. And I'll guarantee you, you're not long before you're falling asleep.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he ain't going to keep you awake if you're going to pray. He'll keep you awake if he can cause you to worry. But if you're going to start praying, he's like, well, I'm going to sleep. This one's no good tonight. Leave it.
And you've got to be careful what you pray for. Because I would, once praying team challenge for God to strip me totally bare, take everything away from me, bring me to a place of brokenness, and it did exactly what I asked for, and I got through it, but it was but when I did come through it, I was a lot stronger person.
But he's staying there. This is the thing we've got to work on, isn't it? Staying there.
Well, he's obviously
doing
some good work.
I know it is. I know, I recognise it, don't worry, but
well,
I've got a big stick.
I've been praying for God for me to be more, submit a lot more to my authorities, and been praying for God to help me with my unbelief.
Well, you've heard a message of it on it tonight.
Yeah.
You've got part of it, haven't you?
So you've got part of it tonight.
I want God to come near you tonight.